Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Let's talk some baseball with Matt Snyder, CBS Sports MLB senior writer on Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called, at Matt Snyder CBS. Matthew, good morning, buddy.
Hey, man. Really excited for what's about to happen in 2 days, but I have a feeling we're not going to talk as much about that. Just a feeling.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're going to talk about the dark cloud. Man, what a bummer. I'm such a random Shohei fan in the sense that I love watching him play, and I've taken my kids to see his game. So, ugh. But let's get into it. Obviously, he spoke yesterday. Let's start here, Matt. I know that there's a lot of information we don't have, and we're trying to piece together our own perspectives and our best guesses, and I'm sure you are too, based on the weird way the story has played out. For you and for people you talk to in baseball, how much credibility does Shohei Ohtani have when he comes out yesterday and gives a statement and says, I didn't know and I didn't do it?
I still think there's some. I mean, I don't see any reason to start all of a sudden jumping straight into the Pete Rose end of the pool. And I've already seen people doing that crap. And it's way too early in the process to say that he wasn't like that. It's way too early to say he was. I'm still in the place where I would say to you when you said it, like you, with your kids being Ohtani fans and it's disappointing, I would still say still allow them to be his fans and if not encourage it, because it's entirely possible that he got completely swindled here. And, you know, there's been some scrambling, but of course there would be some scrambling if your name's attached to a gambling scandal in Major League Baseball. We know that what that's done to people. The only thing we've heard that seems close to being definitive so far is this interpreter doesn't seem like a very good guy. Definitely seems like he stole money from Ohtani. And the betting, as far as we know, was on international soccer. The bookie being involved is bad for Ohtani because I was about to say they're not allowed to gamble on baseball at all, period. They're allowed to gamble on other sports as long as it's done legally. So through any one of the DraftKings, Caesars, BetMGM, any of that stuff, players can gamble on basketball or football or whatever on that, or international soccer. The bookie is a problem in that it was Ohtani's money is a problem for now. Past that, I'm not drawing any conclusions because we don't have any evidence it was on baseball at all.
Matt Snyder on the show. Matt, let me ask a baseball question centered around this ugliness. The Dodgers have been a successful ball club for a long time, have not won the number of World Series that they won over the last decade, but obviously have been outstanding, dominant baseball team in the NL West. They're already loaded with talent. They go and they get the most, I would argue, mesmerizing, interesting, headline-grabbing player in the game before this in Ohtani. Ohtani does not speak English or speak it particularly well. So, and obviously he speaks through an interpreter. What can this do, what might it do to the chemistry and the vibe in that clubhouse? Not just given the fact that these guys are going to have to answer these questions, but if you're a reporter and you want to talk about the Shohei Ohtani story, you're probably going to have to talk to guys not named Shohei Ohtani. If you are any dude on that team, you're probably going to have to talk about this a lot more than you want to. Is there a potential negative impact just in terms of the chemistry within that organization, because this story, fair or not, has followed Shohei to the Dodgers?
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I don't look at chemistry as much in baseball as, for example, basketball, where you need kind of five guys in harmony out there on the field, or even football, where it's such a physical for. And, for example, you need the offensive line to always be on the same page. The quarterback and his receivers always need to be on the same page. You do have to play defense together, but, like, offensively, you're basically batting as an individual against the pitcher who's an individual. The pitcher is an individual matchup. He needs to be on the same page as the catcher. But it just doesn't seem the same to me, and I'm someone who went further in baseball than I did in any other sport. We often say it's a team sport, or it's a team sport, or an individual sport masquerading as a team sport, because it's a series of individual matchups. So sorry I botched that. But the other thing is, with the Dodgers, they have very recently dealt with a lot of Trevor Bauer questions. And it hasn't seemed to bother them at all when they won 111 games in 2021 or 22 and 100 games last season. So,
let me just jump in. That's true, but Bauer wasn't in the clubhouse during that stretch. Ohtani's going to be there every single day.
But I was just saying, if they have to answer questions about Ohtani because he can't answer himself, like, Bauer wasn't in the clubhouse to talk about it himself. So they would be asked about Bauer. So it kind of felt like it was along the same level.
So you think, in terms of the impact on the Dodgers, this is much ado about nothing?
Probably. Yeah, at least for now. I mean, it's hard for me to see a situation where Ohtani was tied up in baseball gambling to the point where he has to be banned for life. So I think once they start playing, and it probably helps that it's a daily sport where you play a game pretty much every day as opposed to football, where you're sitting around with a week in between to answer a bunch of questions and think about stuff. And then if you have a few bad games, you got to let that linger. I think that it's probably not going to impact them that much. But I will say this, I have no idea, because we haven't really seen anything like this for a long time. So it's hard to tell.
Matt Snyder on the show. Matt, let me back up a little bit. I'm curious, even before this story broke, what you made from a decision-making point of view of Major League Baseball beginning the Shohei Ohtani era and beginning its 2024 season in South Korea before the rest of Major League Baseball had their opening days, at a time, certainly in L.A., where nobody was watching, or very few people could watch those games at 3 a.m.?
I don't care for it at all. Now, first of all, I will say this. It was already scheduled with the Dodgers and Padres before Ohtani signed with the Dodgers. So I suppose you could say, well, it was already scheduled. They can't change it once Ohtani signs with the Dodgers. My complaint's more in general on the games. They've been doing that forever. I mean, I remember one time when I was in college and I woke up at 5 in the morning to watch the Cubs play against the Mets. And I remember Benny Agbayani on the Mets hit like a late go-ahead sack fly or even home run or something. I just remember the Cubs lost, and I woke up way early, and I was aggravated about it. But I always try to be on the side of the fans. And this is a North American sport. Almost our entire fan base is here. I understand trying to expand the international footprint, especially when you have players like Shohei Ohtani. I get that. But due to the logistics of the travel, to have two games kind of hanging there, March 20th and 21st, and then they come back and they play exhibition games. What other sport have you ever heard of? You play a real game, and then you go back to exhibition games before you get to the rest of the regular season. That's totally off. And again, when I say I'm on the side of the fans, L.A. and San Diego fans, their season, and both fan bases have to be excited. Obviously, Padres maybe a little less so than the Dodgers, but still, the Padres look like they could be good this year. 3 in the morning, opening day. Come on, man. That's just – I don't care for that at all. And I just think we shouldn't be doing – because of the logistics that I mentioned and when – because of the travel and when you have to play the games and the time you have to play them, the South Korea, Japan, Australia games, I do not like those for that reason. I love doing it anywhere where the time zone makes sense. The Mexico games are great. I would love to see them do some Caribbean series. Even if they go all the way down to Aruba and send the Padres there because Xander Bogaerts is from Aruba, that would be really cool. Stuff like that, I would love to see that. But once you get into the time difference being that big of a deal that you have to start the season 8 days before the rest of the games, and then they go back and play exhibition games in between, that's just not right to me.
CBS Sports, Matt Snyder here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Bill Ryder. Matt, a couple years ago, the Orioles were young and interesting. I think they won 82 or 83 games. Last year, they won 101 games, and I know there were other factors, but that was a young core, guys that came up through their system as key pieces. Is there a team this year that you think could similarly make a jump or be surprising or have a youth movement or just maybe defy some of the narratives out there in Major League Baseball we should keep our eyes on?
Not like that. I think the Reds, they had so many rookies last year. I believe they had three players get votes for Rookie of the Year, but none of them even appeared in 100 games. And they also had a rookie on the pitching staff. They also have youngsters in the rotation like Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo. So the Reds could definitely take a big step forward. The only thing is they've been so banged up in spring training, and they already lost Noelvi Marte, one of the youngsters, to a PED suspension. So maybe a little held back there. But they certainly have a group that you could see that kind of an influx of young talent. In terms of a big leap forward, not like that. I mean, like you said, that was almost 18 games to get into the 100s and wins. I don't see anybody like that at all. Do you think the Cubs are going to be better? I'm just glancing around the standings here. No, I mean, maybe the Royals could make kind of a run, and maybe they could make a run in the division because the division's bad, but nothing at all like that Orioles group. That was something special. That's something you don't
see. So much fun. Yeah, let's dive into the Cubs a little bit. They perfected yet again the art of breaking my heart last year. Just, you know, I had no hope, and then they gave me hope, and then they yanked it away. That's obviously a major market, and we're used to teams that have financial resources having, it's not guaranteed, but having success or having some recurring success. How do you think the Cubs are positioned this year and the years ahead to try and do what the Dodgers and the Astros and to maybe to a lesser degree the Yankees have done, and maybe throw the Mets in too? Are the Mets or the Cubs in a position to get to that place where they're consistently competing for their division?
Mets, I think, will take a little bit now that they hired David Stearns, who was one of the architects of the Brewers for and contending for so long. The Mets are looking to have Stearns be their Andrew Friedman and take them to the next level, like the Dodgers, where they never ever miss the playoffs, and it's not even a question. It's just a question of what they're going to do in the playoffs. The Mets might be headed in that direction if Stearns can do as good of a job as Friedman, but it's going to take a few years, so they're not there yet. Cubs, it's interesting. I do feel like the Cubs should be in that stratosphere where they don't really rebuild, they reload. Like the Yankees. The Yankees, the year that they traded, it was 2016 when they traded a few guys, including Aroldis Chapman, to the Cubs. They still won in the 80s in games. They didn't have a losing record. It shouldn't bottom out like it did with the Cubs a few years ago when they went 71 and 91. It shouldn't do that anymore once you've established this is how high the bar is. And after the Cubs had what, so right now is the golden era of Cubs baseball, it did bottom out again. Really well set up right now. MLB.com ranked the Cubs as having the second best farm system in baseball right now after the Orioles, which is ridiculous, by the way, with the Orioles having already graduated all those prospects and is still number one. But that they're there, and it looks like the big league roster is good enough to win the NL Central this year. It looks like they could be set up for sustained success. I do think that there's another component there, and that's the spending. And it looks like after the Cubs won the World Series, Tom Ricketts is content with being a top 10 spender and not like the Dodgers or what we think that the Mets will be under Cohen. So that might be a little bit of a roadblock down the road. But I think that, Bill, you can be excited because I think things are on the way up.
All right, Matt, give me your way too early, oh my God, it's 12 months from now, not really, prediction. Who is coming out of, who's winning each division if you've got it in front of you, and certainly who is coming out of the NL and the AL?
Okay, in the American League, I went Orioles, Twins, Astros. Geez, that's the same as last year. That's not exciting. And in the NL, Braves and Dodgers, it's boring, but those are the chalk. They're chalk picks for a reason. They're going to run away with those divisions, although maybe the Phillies could push the Braves a little bit. In the NL Central, I've got the Cubs. I think that the races to watch are going to be the NL Central because anybody can win it. Any of the five teams, including the Pirates, could win the Central. In the NL West, I think there are going to be two wild cards left because the Phillies are going to get the top wild card in the National League. Then you have the Padres, Diamondbacks, and Giants all look like contenders. Three teams fighting for two playoff spots. That's going to be incredibly fun. I have the Phillies winning the World Series. Once again, they have a roster that's better built for the playoffs than the regular season, just like the last 2 years. I think this is the time that they put it all together and break through in the postseason. But Orioles can make a deep run. One of the things to watch about the Orioles is they already traded for Corbin Burns, who has only has 1 year before free agency. So it shows that they're going to be a little more aggressive this year. Mike Elias, their general manager, came from the Astros. Remember, once the Astros built up their prospect currency, they brought a lot of them up that were position players, and they also traded for Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. These Orioles have already traded for Burns. Look for them to make another deal for an ace type around the trade deadline, propel them toward the postseason.
Matt Snyder, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy sort of opening day that's not last week, opening day in a couple days, and thanks for making time, pal.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, brother. Matt Snyder, he's on Twitter, Matt Snyder, CBS, MLB writer, podcaster, analyst, reporter. Did I forget anything? I think it's all of it. Does it all. Just like Pretty Daddy does. How is buy or sell today? What's the vibe on buy or sell there, Mr. Sensitive?
Wow. We're going with the sensitivity edition of buy or sell today.
Woo! This buy or sell, headlines from all kinds of topics in sports. We haven't gotten to a take on each one. Is fine-tuned to the sensitivity of our listeners, one of whom is nominated Tom for Bum of the Week. We'll get into that next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Tom, I don't apologize. You're doing an okay job.
On CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Good morning. Thanks for hanging out. How are you, Tom? How's your day going? How was your commute today?
My commute today was uneventful, which is a great thing.
What's the vibe on the train these days?
Not great. It's not a great vibe.
People are still just kind of not feeling it?
Not feeling it. Keep to themselves. Head down. 90% of people are either listening to music or a podcast and don't want to talk.
Yeah, but isn't that the way it was 5 years ago when I lived there?
I feel like people were more friendly. We're more prone to at least saying good morning.
Got it. Things have taken a turn. Not for the better.
Not for the better.
Got it. I love the train. I like commuting. One of our colleagues is going to be commuting a lot lately. He's going to get to enjoy the train. Everything's great. Did you know this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial? Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, here we go, Bill. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy spoke this morning at the league meetings and had this to say about America's team's quiet offseason when it comes to free agents.
The reality of our business is the economics. I mean, you know, the economics, as your players grow and as their value grows, you know, how you keep them all together is a, you know, that's a whole another competition that goes on year to year. So if you're progressing and the value of your players is in increasing, the economics of your football teams is never going to be the same year to year.
Bill, buy or sell Mike McCarthy's reasoning for Dallas not signing free agents?
I mean, look, I understand. I'll buy the reasoning. Can I just sell the early meet? Doesn't it feel like early season excuse making?
Yeah, we're the only team in the NFL that operates under a cap. So every other team doesn't have to deal with this, but we do. So it's been really challenging. Someone whispers in McCarthy's ear. Oh, everybody does? Oh, okay.
Dude, can you stop calling? I know you do it to get under my skin.
I do.
Can you please not call the Cowboys America's team?
All right, just for clarity's sake, never again or only use it sparingly?
I don't love it.
Okay. Never again.
I just think it's an inaccurate moniker. Maybe I'm wrong, though. Maybe they are America's team. My co-host over on my tri-host, there's three of us, my bosses at CBS Sports said, hit me up. Very nice guy. He said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say. Did not like it. Ashley Nicole Moss, not John Gonzalez, they're both my co-hosts, my co-co-hosts. She is a Cowboys fan, even though she's from New York and lives in Miami. So I guess they are. Ugh, they're everywhere. Maybe they are America's team.
I like that second way you describe it. Your co-co-hosts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Maybe that's a better.
Go with that. See how that
co-host
works out. Co-host
of the Power 2?
Too much math for me.
How many times a year do you have a dream? For me, it's about 4 or 5. Vivid dream that you are in college or high school, usually college, and you have a test to go to and you haven't studied for it or gone to class all year.
Yeah, I'd say it's around that 2 or 3 mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's terrible.
All right, Bill, let's get back to the NFL here. The Denver Broncos have the number 12 pick in the draft next month. And at the league meetings this morning in Orlando, when Ian Rappaport of NFL Network asked head coach Sean Payton how realistic it was that Denver could move up in the draft, Payton said, quote, realistic. After releasing Russell Wilson, the only quarterbacks on Denver's roster right now, Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci. Bill, buy or sell the Broncos need to draft a quarterback this year?
Buy. I remember when Drew Brees retired on this show. I did the show in the evenings then, or the afternoons if you're on the West Coast. I remember saying that Sean Payton would now show to what degree he was a guru or just the guy that got to coach Drew Brees. And it turned out, without Drew Brees, in his short time after that happened in New Orleans, he was, in fact, not a guru. Now we get to play the same game again. Because they have to draft a quarterback. They have to find a quarterback that they can use. But you also have to believe Sean Payton is capable of properly identifying that person, getting the most out of them, bringing them along, handling the pressure, helping them do that. I do not have a lot of confidence in that fact. Turned out that Tom Brady was a big part of the reason Bill Belichick looked real smart. And I think it's a very similar thing that's gone on with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And by the way, Sean Payton didn't have nearly the reputation that the hoodie had. So, yeah, they got to draft a guy, but they also got to properly get the best out of that person. And I'm skeptical that Sean Payton's going to be the guy to do that.
All right, Bill. Speaking of drafting quarterbacks, yesterday Jets owner Woody Johnson had this to say about quarterback Zach Wilson.
I feel badly about Zach in some ways because, you know, last year would have been a great – he would have been the first time he could just sit back and watch a master at work, right? Mm-hmm. And he's never had that. He's been in the fire from day one. And I think that's what he needs. He needs to be in a place where he can observe for a while. And he's got the skill. He can do everything. There's a reason we drafted him at number 2 overall. And I have confidence that he'll get there at some point.
Can that happen here? You have Tyrod, you have Aaron.
I think it's, it's possible. You know, if we don't trade him, we're going to keep him. So it's possible that he could do it here. From his standpoint, it's probably better if he changes faces and gets to a new place and kind of he can wipe the slate clean, you know, in that way.
So if the Jets cannot trade Zach Wilson, they will not cut him. They will keep him. Now remember, Bill, the Jets already signed veteran Tyrod Taylor to be Aaron Rodgers' backup for next season. Bill, buy or sell it would be a mistake to have Zach Wilson on the Jets roster next year.
I'll buy that it's a mistake for everybody involved.
Buy.
But by the way, I like Woody Johnson's candor. I agree with everything he said other than he's going to get there. He may not get there. But I think the reasons he outlined are reasonable. Who's going to want to trade for Zach Wilson? If you take Woody at his word, and maybe it's... Maybe he's being a little disingenuous because if you say, yeah, we don't get anything, we're going to cut him, then whoever might trade for him will just wait for him to be cut. But if they really are intent on keeping him, who is trading for Zach Wilson? Who thinks he has value to give up anything for that guy? He's probably another failed quarterback. And Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson had the same problem. They were drafted by the Jets. And I do think had he studied under Aaron Rodgers, there was maybe a chance. But obviously that didn't happen. Aaron Rodgers went down the first play, basically the first play of the year. And the rest was more just into the fire, which he was not capable, again, of handling. Do you feel bad for Zach Wilson? I feel bad for Zach Wilson.
I mostly don't feel bad.
Yeah, he didn't come off as... He wasn't unlikable, but he wasn't likable. And maybe there were some... And maybe it's how the video was edited, but there were some maturity things for me. Just some, like, that's your guy?
All right, Bill, let's get to some college hoops here. Last night, 8-seed West Virginia gave number 1-seed Iowa and Caitlin Clark a real game. Now, the Hawkeyes led by 2 at halftime, and the game was in question in the final minutes, but Iowa came away with a 10-point win to advance to the Sweet 16. However, Bill, as you know, there was a very large disparity in free throw attempts last night. Iowa shot 30 free throws to West Virginia's 5, and Caitlin Clark alone had 12 herself. Bill, buy or sell the free throw disparity bothers you?
I'm going to sell. Oh, look, I'm from Iowa, so I got biases here. There's a few things. One, the officiating's not been great in the women's tournament. And if you saw the last game where Caitlin Clark had an elbow to her face that wasn't called a foul, I mean, it should have been a flagrant, too. The person should have been kicked out of the game. It's one of the most violent, and I thought intentional, moves I've seen. Turnabout isn't fair play for West Virginia. They didn't do anything in that first game. I thought the officiating was, and I saw all the complaining on social about it. I thought down the stretch that the disparity made sense. I thought that West Virginia got really physical, and I thought Iowa did not commit that many fouls and commit as many fouls. I thought it was a West Virginia team that didn't have the same level of talent that was trying to make it a physical game. That said, it's a pretty serious disparity.
All right, Bill, let's head over to the men's side. Last night on his coach's show, John Calipari told fans he remains committed to winning at Kentucky.
I talked again about the standard that is the standard that I believe in, that I think we can do. But that standard of national titles has been here from Coach Rupp on. And the only thing that I'm saying to all our fans, I'm going to work in our state, work for this program and this university, really work for these young people. And that's my commitment. I'm not changing. 24/7, let's go. Whether it's recruiting, all the stuff that we've got to do. That is a commitment that I give to the fans, and I haven't changed. This is like wearing a coat. It never goes away. But I love it. This is what I want. This is what I wanted. This is why I never left. This is it. And now it's, let's come together and let's go do something. Let's do something special. And we can do it. We've done it. Let's do it again.
Bill, buy or sell John Calipari sounded desperate.
Buy.
Buy.
Did he say that it's like a coat?
He did.
I never get rid of it? Is that, always have it? Well, what?
Apparently he always wears a coat.
My coats are in my closet. I definitely get rid of coats when they're no longer helpful. And if my coat didn't keep me warm, I would throw the coat away. If my coat, in fact, made me colder and failed at its job to be a coat, I would get rid of it. If the coat turned out to be a tattered T-shirt and it were snowing, I would no longer want that coat. What is he talking about?
Seemed to be talking in circles a bit there.
Kind of like his coaching. Didn't make a lot of sense.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Oh.
All right, Bill. Hoopier than that. Let's get to some...
By the way, can I just sell people who criticize going after low-hanging fruit?
Sell.
Have you ever tried to get fruit off a tree? You want the low-hanging fruit.
So you're saying there's no easy fruit to get off a tree?
No. I don't know why. When I was a kid, my parents had a wicker apple picker. And we didn't have an apple tree or any fruit trees. And then years later, I did come across a fruit tree, and we didn't. I don't know where that thing was. So the point is, when people say, oh, that's low-hanging fruit, yeah. Yeah, I know. if you've got a can of tomatoes in your cupboard right in front of you, but then you have 12 cans of tomatoes that are up above the fridge, you have to get a a ladder. You're gonna say, "Oh, low hanging can of tomatoes. I'm gonna get the no, man. Low hanging fruit is great." All of you who criticize low hanging fruit, shut up.
There's certainly no transition for that one. All right, Bill Hoopier to the now. Some NBA here. The Pacers beat the Clippers yesterday in L.A. 133-116. Kawhi, Paul George, and James Harden were all in the lineup, and Russell Westbrook made his return. Bill, L.A. has now lost six of their last nine games and are the five seed in the Western Conference. Bill, buy or sell the Clippers turning their play around as the playoffs are just 3.5 weeks away.
They could, but let me sell. Let me tell you why.
Sell.
Here's why. You ready?
Hit me.
One, the Clippers and the Pelicans, that's a terrible matchup for the Clippers. They've only won two of those three games in eight of their last ten. Or three of those four games this year, excuse me, in eight of the last ten. It's just a bad matchup. And two, I have a theory. So this is the first time since his Toronto season that Kawhi Leonard has made the 60-game mark. A lot of times you'll hear about guys who haven't played in the playoffs hitting a wall in the postseason, kind of running out of gas. Because to win an NBA championship, it's part of the reason I think the Warriors broke down, you have to win 16 games. So you're playing, I mean, you can be playing as many as 33 games in theory, right? So it's 20 to 30 games. That's a third of a season. That's a huge chunk of a season. Kawhi Leonard is hitting his wall now because he has played 62 or 63 games for the first time in 6 years. And I think he, his load management over the years, which didn't work, also has made him, at an older age, unable to take just the reality of a longer season. He's hitting a wall. Paul George is hitting a wall. James Harden's not reliable in the playoffs. Yeah, I think they're in deep, deep trouble.
All right, Bill, one last one for you here. Last night, the Hawks came back from being down 30 to beat the Celtics 120-118. Now, both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown played big minutes for Boston, while there was no Trae Young for Atlanta. Buy or sell last night is another example of why you're skeptical about the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, buy. Now, I'll say this. Tatum played really well down the stretch. He played really well in the fourth quarter. He played really well in the last 2 minutes. He got a garbage bucket. But what, he played really, really, I think 5 of 11 in the fourth quarter is what he had for a bunch of points. Really good. There's something about Boston that makes me nervous. There's something about Boston that seems vulnerable and frail. I really enjoyed the tomato can rant because it's true. We just take these expressions for granted. I saw you write it down. Don't think I...
We'll be hearing that tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm very, very excited to do that. Let's close out the show with some over-under numbers for next year's NFL season that dropped yesterday that I think give us a sense of some of where some of these teams are, including the Bears, which I find really interesting. We'll get into some NFL talk on the show after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Thank you for listening, for hanging out. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Mavs big man Daniel Gafford had 5 blocks and 2 steals last night in Dallas' win over Utah. Gafford is averaging over 2 blocks a game in March. Remember, he came to the Mavs at the trade deadline and was a pretty big move. Nice addition. Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union. Tom, we have some minor, maybe significant, it depends, but it is breaking news.
Breaking news.
It's a great ticker tape sound or whatever that is. Don't turn it down. What are you doing?
Oh, that's all I got of it. It's only 10 seconds long.
Sorry, we can play it again.
Breaking news.
LeBron James out tonight. Ankle, that's it. Yeah. Play it again. Play it one more time. Bookend it.
Breaking news.
By the way, is he hurt? Put in air quotes. The Lakers with... what do they got? About 10 games to go, maybe 9 for them, are basically, or 11, whatever, math, are basically locked into the 9 seed. They're not going to get caught probably by the Phoenix Suns. They're certainly not going to get caught by the Warriors, who are trying to fend off the Rockets, which is amazing. And so you're going to see a lot of LeBron and AD being ruled out for various ailments known as the rest bug. I have to rest. Yeah. The load management flu. Goes around this time of year sometimes. Pretty contagious, depending where you are in the old standings. All right. I really like looking at prop bets for various teams to kind of get a sense of how Vegas sees things. Here's a really interesting number. You ready for this? So these are over-under numbers, Tom. It's basically you can bet a team will win or lose more games. Do you have any NFL music? Oh, look at you. Did it. Dude, you can talk about anything and this would be amazing. Time for a salad with Caesar. And it sounds dramatic, right?
Powerful.
Can I take a potty break, Mrs. Johnson? This music's amazing. No? No? You're right?
I'm good.
All right. The Atlanta Falcons have the exact same number, over-under number, for wins after signing Kirk Cousins as the Bills and the Bengals. Now, some of that's division, obviously, but 10.5. 7 wins last year, which means Vegas thinks they're going to finish 3 or 4 games to the better. By the way, Kirk Cousins is really good in the regular season. I can kind of see it. Man, the Bills are going to trend down. I think every year you're going to see this over-under number trend down just a little bit. The Bills won 11 games last year. They had the same win total as last year, 10.5. I think I'd go under. The Bears are at 8.5 wins. They were 7.5 last year. Now, that's a pretty good team, across the roster, outside of their quarterback. Obviously, they just traded away Justin Fields. By all accounts, they're going to draft Caleb Williams. That's a lot of and Caleb Williams will start. Obviously, he's not going to sit. I think I'd fade that number, Tom. I think I would go under 8.5 for Chicago.
Feels like a big number for a rookie quarterback.
Here's another tricky one. You ready? The Cleveland Browns are 8.5. In a 17-game season, that basically means that they're a straight 500 team. They won 11 games last year. They got him 8.5 now. Because Joe Flacco's not walking through that door. He's an Indy. Isn't that a crazy sentence to say and not have it be a joke? The Green Bay Packers are at 10. Over. The problem for the Packers in that number and in trying to win that division is that Detroit, who are at 10.5, won 12 games last year. I think Detroit, we'll see. We saw from the Eagles this past season, we've seen NFL hangovers, not from winning a championship, but from almost winning a championship and having your heart broken. Eagles actually made the Super Bowl. I know the Lions did not, but they were so close and they should have won that NFC championship game. But I like Detroit to be better. Houston Texans are at 9.5. Colts are all the way up to 8.5, which is a crazy number to me. I know they got 9 wins last year, right? 9, yeah. But I guess it's the belief Anthony Richardson's going to be healthy and excellent. He was really good in his, I don't even remember, 2.5 games? Small sample size. Your Kansas City Chiefs win total is 11.5. The same as the San Francisco 49ers. Those are the highest marks in the NFL in terms of projections this year, along with one other team, Tom. Can you guess that team?
49ers, Chiefs, one more team. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Great guess. The Baltimore Ravens.
I should have gotten that.
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I think I might have actually said it. Eagles are close at 10.5. Here's another number that is low for me, and I would hammer the over. Oh my God, I might hammer the over on this. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who have had a winning record under Mike Tomlin, is it 17 years? I think that every time I say it, I pause because it feels inconceivably impossible. But it's true. Vegas has them an over-under of 8. So you're basically betting, will the streak continue? They won 10 games last year. They actually had an 8.5 total last year. They've gone down a little bit. They have Russell Wilson, and they traded for Justin Fields. And they went there. I mean, there's other factors, I know, but they're pretty well run. They're not in cap hell.
8.5 last year, with going into the year with Kenny Pickett as their starter, now going in with Russell Wilson, and the number went down.
Some of that is their division, right? Like the division they play in, and those teams being outstanding and getting healthy, right? I mean, I think that's part of it. But, man, can you really – the funny thing is, it will be funny, but not for Steelers fans, if there's ever going to be a time where Mike Tomlin's remarkable run of winning season comes to an end, it's when he brought Russell Wilson into his building. I mean, there is a world where that's a very, very real thing. Part of their problem, though, is that Joe Burrow's back to being healthy. So you got the Bengals twice. You got the Browns twice, who, by the way, are not that high on this list, but are dangerous. And you have the Ravens twice. But if you had to bet all your money on how many games the Steelers would win against the Ravens and the Bengals in those four games, I mean, I bet everything I own that they were going to win one of them. And I think I would bet, if I got a good enough number with some confidence, they would win two of them. Tomlin wins games. The guy is a winner. By the way, we talk so much in sports about winners. That guy's a winner. He's a winner. He's such a winner. That guy's just a winner, which is true. But the same people won't then say, that guy's a loser. Well, I don't want to say that. These are all professional athletes. Well, hold on. If guy A is a winner, somebody's got to be a loser. It's a zero-sum game. So who's the loser in college football? It's the Bears. They're losers. Different conference, different division. I get it. All that stuff. The Commanders at 7.5, by the way. Same number as last year. Last year, they won 4 games. New head coach, going to have a new quarterback, drafted at number 2. The Jets are at 9.5 under. What are the odds Aaron Rodgers is healthy and plays well?
I think
40%?
Yeah. I don't feel great about it. I mean, what are you thinking? 13 games he plays?
I mean, he could play 17. He could play 4. His body last year said, in effect, hell no, from the moment the season started. No. Not doing it. I used to do this dance at weddings. It was a crowd pleaser. People would surround me, clap. I would do the splits, and I would, like, you know, go in circles and stuff. It was pretty great, in a bad way, but fun. And then one year, my body said no while I was doing it. Everyone's kind of like, oh, this isn't what it was promised.
No advance notice.
No notice given, Tom. No notice. That's why you got to go for the low-hanging tomato cans. Or the low-placed tomato cans, the low-hanging fruit. Have you ever tried to pick an apple off a tree where you can't reach the apples?
No.
It'll make you feel real small. Real small. What are you more afraid of, a shark or a crocodile?
A shark.
Close call for me. I think I'm going to go crocodile.
Let's put a third option, outer space.
I'm out. All right, thanks for listening. I'm Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. We appreciate you. We'll see you here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.